Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to That 590 Show. I am your host, Matt Berger, alongside Matt Rocchio and John Giamatti Rudolph with a Yankees cap for the third day in a row. Right here in the all-new 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM and InsideSTL.com. The Bellman Automotive phone line is available at 855-282-8255. The text line, 855-282-8255. And you can add us on Twitter, at 590 Show, at Matt underscore Berger, at Rock590, and at John Rudolph 22. Joining us at 620 will be Pete Jensen from the NHL Network. At 640, lead baseball writer for USAtoday.com, Bob Nightingale. And then at 7 o'clock from bballbreakdown.com, Shane Young. All guests appear courtesy of Bellman Automotive, BellmanCDJR.com. Giamatti, make sure that ringer is on the phone, so that way we got people calling in that we can talk to them. Because I know people are going to want to talk about Blues hockey, I would imagine, in this first segment of the day. That's who I figured was going to be first. Didn't I call it? I told you that person is going to be first. Without much little to no introduction this gentleman need. There we go. There's his music. Mr. 99.9% is joining us right now on the Bellman Automotive phone line. Mark, how are you, sir?
I'm doing fine, Matt. Why do you think they call me 99.9, man? That's what I keep telling you. I'm 99.9.
You were all alone, Mark, in picking the Nashville Predators. I didn't hear anybody else say that. Everybody I knew was picking the Blues, but nope. You were the voice of dissension, and you came out and you said, no. Not so fast, my St. Louis friends. The Nashville Predators, they're the ones who are going to win the second round. You're the only person I've heard say that.
Matt, can I ask you a question, man?
Sure.
Do people in this town love mediocrity? Are they just satisfied year in and year out with the Blues just making the first maybe one or two rounds of the playoffs?
If I remember correctly, you didn't think they were going to make the playoffs at all, so they've already exceeded your expectations.
Well, almost everybody making the playoffs in hockey. Yeah, that's
there's the outlier. There's the excuse. Where was that? Right. Where was that about a month or so ago? Where you were calling my show, going, "Man, Matt, I'm telling you, man, these Blues, man, they ain't going to make the playoffs." And now all of a sudden,
if you remember, I was the one that called for the fire one Mr. Hitchcock.
You were right about that one. But when they went on that little bit of a skid, after they went off like a house on fire after Mike Yeo took over, and then they went on a little bit of a skid until before they went on that run in the month of March, then you were calling up and you were saying that they weren't even going to make the playoffs. Right now, obviously, I think their season's on life support. Are they dead? No. Are they on life support? Yeah, and the priest is on the phone to come in and read the last rites.
Death is knocking at the doorstep. That's for sure. Okay.
Yeah. Is it impossible for them to come back? No. Is it unlikely? Absolutely. They've done it twice before. One time in 1991, and one time against the Detroit Red Wings, and then in 1999 against the Phoenix Coyotes. So there is precedence of the Blues doing it in the past, but to me, this team just doesn't seem like that special of a team where they are going to come from behind and beat this Nashville team. This Nashville team, they just seem like they want it more right now.
Right, they do, man. And you can tell, when they did that to Chicago, man, that was the right on the wall right there. I mean, that wasn't just a win over a good thing. That was a complete domination, man.
Yeah,
they dominated the Blackhawks.
Absolutely.
You know?
Although I thought the game last night, I think the Blues played poorly. I thought the Blues actually played pretty well last night. They, you know, we talked about it before the series even started. The two hottest goaltenders going into the playoffs were Jake Allen and Pekka-Rinne, and that's what you saw last night. You saw this great goaltender duel last night.
Matt, remember that one game everybody was talking about? Well, the Blues scored three goals on Pekka-Rinne. I said that's one game, good guys. This
okay,
guy,
yeah, but
do that every night.
Okay,
that's
but
one game.
Okay, that's one game, you know? and then they won the game after that, didn't they? By scoring three goals.
Right. Well, what I'm saying is you're not going to get those kind of shots against that guy every night in and night out.
No, they had great shots last night. They actually had the most shots they've had in the entire 2017 playoffs they had last night. It's just that Pekka Rinne was just amazing, and he was stopping everything. And this is unusual for Pekka Rinne. He's normally not that good of a playoff goalie, but this year, so far, he's been fantastic. And we can maybe seeing like a Jonathan Quick situation where he's going to be good enough to carry the Predators all the way to the title. We'll wait and see.
Right, yeah, I, you know, that was impressive, man. I just think when I'm looking at them two teams, like I told you last night, when I'm looking at them two teams, it's clearly just, you can see all, out there on the ice who is the better team, hands down, man.
Well,
and,
I mean, this Subban guy, man,
where did he come from?
Who?
Subban. What is Subban? How you pronounce his last name?
P.K. Subban?
P.K. Subban?
Yeah, he's actually been a star in the NHL for a long time. He was really good with the Montreal Canadiens. And then the Nashville Predators made a trade and picked him up, but he's been pretty good for quite some time.
Like every time I can look, turn on to this guy, all in my pictures. I said this guy is quick as lightning, man. He's out there hammering people, throwing punches.
He was just okay last night. I think he only had one shot on goal. Now that first game he was tremendous. But last night he had one shot on goal, and the best thing he did was draw that early penalty in the first period. But other than that, he really had a pretty quiet night last night. Like last night, I mean, you have to give credit to the Nashville Predators. They won that game last night, but you got to give the assist to the referees and giving them that power play in the third period.
See, that's why you don't want to. That's why you want to score, man. You don't want to put it in the hands of the ref. That's why you need goal scores.
Absolutely.
Let the refs get included on that game, okay? You want to put that game, especially on the road, man. You want to make no doubts. No. You want to put them away, okay?
I would imagine that the Blues' number one priority this coming off season is to find another score to compliment Vladimir Tarasenko because it can't all fall on him.
Yeah, they need
another elite scorer. That's what they need.
Right.
They need another elite scorer. And like they need something to do. They have to have something to do with that third line. The third line, the playoffs this series has been terrible. David Perron and Patrick Berglund have been MIA.
What about that guy Bo Meester, man? What does he do?
Bo Meester's been awful too.
Right. I said, my boy, it's just like they just spend the money on the wrong players. I think they scouting department, whoever charges getting signing these players, man. You know, they're doing a piss poor job of doing. You know,
I don't know. I think I'll be honest with you, Mark. I think the Blues have kind of overachieved. After they kind of traded Kevin Shattenkirk, I remember getting the calls and reading the texts. Everybody thinking that this organization waved the white flag. And here they are in the second round. They made it further than what the Chicago Blackhawks did. They made it further than what Brian Elliott did. They made it further than what Troy Brower did. They made it further than what David Backes did. So, I mean, I guess you could say that there's their moral victory. I guess you could say that they've made it this far. And I don't think anybody was really expecting them to make it this far, especially you.
And one more other thing, death to the Boston Celtics.
What do you mean, death to the Boston Celtics? That might be the best story in sports right now.
Yeah, it's him with No,
you actually think they're going to be Cleveland?
No, I don't. But right now, you have to say that Isaiah Thomas is probably the best story in sports right now.
Yeah, he's all right, man. I mean, it just—I don't know, man.
The guy dropped 52
I don't consider him a leader, man. You know, looking at that guy, really could you consider him? I look at him like a little brother or something. Man.
Well, that's because he's 5'9". He looks like the little brother out there amongst all those trees.
You don't consider him a leader because of his height?
I think
he's a leader. He's obviously the leader of that Celtics team. There's something to say about how far can a 5'9 player, if your best player is 5'9, how far can you go in the NBA playoffs?
Right, that's what I was trying to say, Rocchio. Not just 5'9, come on, you really, LeBron James, and you compare him to LeBron James, not even close.
I won't compare him to LeBron James because they play completely different positions and different styles, and the fact of the matter is that he might not be able to. The Celtics as a team might not be able to beat the Cavaliers, but I guarantee you there will be two or three times where Isaiah Thomas puts Kyrie Irving into a blender and makes Kyrie Irving look freaking stupid if they play each other.
He'll return the favor too.
I think once Tyronn Lue notices that, okay, Isaiah Thomas is starting to get into that fourth quarter mode where he takes over. I think that's where you're going to see maybe LeBron take a little bit take over the defense on Isaiah Thomas.
I think LeBron's going to spend a lot of time chasing Horford out on the perimeter, making sure that Horford can't sling those passes. Horford had 10 assists. Horford is an incredibly good facilitator.
I think you're going to see LeBron trying to scramble that. I'm saying that's what's going to happen.
I think you're right.
If Isaiah Thomas starts getting in the fourth quarter mode and it looks like nobody can stop him, that's when you're going to see Tyronn Lue put LeBron on Isaiah Thomas.
The interesting part on your comment, Mark, it would be interesting to see what would happen if the Celtics had a wing player even close to all-star level, because they have Al Horford, who's a solid big man, who's a good facilitator. They have Isaiah Thomas. He can obviously run the point and score. The only thing they're missing is they don't have that third guy, and you clearly need a third guy in the NBA nowadays if you're going to be a legitimate contender.
Just think how good they'd be if they had Carmelo.
My big question is Lonzo Ball enough to take them to the next level? Is Lonzo Ball? I'm being serious.
I don't know.
I'm being 100% serious. Take away the stupidity of his dad. Is Lonzo Ball, because they have a legitimate shot at getting a top two pick in this year's draft, despite the fact that they're this good because of the stupidity of the Brooklyn Nets? Can Lonzo Ball, and then we talk about how the draft is what has to bring you to a next level team. You have to find your superstars there. Can Lonzo Ball take him to another level?
I mean, where are you going to play him, though? Are you going to make
him? He's your two guard. He's 6'6". He plays point guard, but he's 6'6". It's not hard.
But Avery Bradley is your best defender.
That's true.
If you're the Celtics, you got to have Avery Bradley out there because he is your best defender.
And Isaiah Thomas can't hold ones.
Exactly. So okay, if you get Lonzo Ball, I'm not sure where you're going to put him. Thanks, Mark. Have a great night.
Okay, take it easy.
We'll be continuing the NBA conversation at 7 o'clock when Shane Young from bballbreakdown.com will join us then. But, I think right now Isaiah Thomas is probably the best story going in sports. And if you're a sports fan in Boston and right now the microscope that your city is under, you need Isaiah Thomas right now. You need that guy.
52 points. On what would have been his sister's 23rd birthday. That's incredible.
Yeah.
I mean, that was incredible what he did. And despite the fact that he also turned on the Jets and went Mr. Fourth Quarter and appropriately Mr. Overtime.
And it looked like John Wall was going to be the one who's going to take over that game.
Woo! I tell you what. It is masterpiece when he runs a pick and roll.
Yes.
And they give him too much space. I mean, the way he weaves in and out of defenders at the top of the key, I haven't seen dribbling like that. And that's something else.
John Wall is actually really developing into a better NBA player than I thought he was going to be. I was really skeptical about him, not for the same reasons.
Calm down, Cowherd.
No, say not for the same reasons that Colin Cowherd was, but I was skeptical. I really was skeptical about him because, as great as Kentucky is at college basketball, they really don't produce that much great NBA talent.
They have two of the best 25 players in the league right now.
Right now, but normally, historically, they do not have great.
True.
Let's head back to the Bellman Automotive phone line quickly, and Stanley joins us. Good evening, Stan. How are you?
I'm good. How you guys doing tonight?
Good. What's on your mind, sir?
Hey, I just had a call. Hey, Mark, he just called in, and I got to say, shout out to Mark, who just called in. I love listening to Mark, been calling in before and after him for many years. But did he just say Isaiah Thomas was I? Is that what he just said?
Yeah, he kind of did. But I think what he was saying. But
this dude put up 53 a week after his sister's killed in a car accident. He gets his front tooth knocked out a couple of games ago on the floor. He, by his own admission, his coach's own admission, that he's kind of in a funk in a zone right now where he almost didn't even play yesterday. This cat, for what he's going through, are you kidding me?
Yeah, he's the best story in sports right now. And I think when Mark, I finally said it, Mark did agree with me. How far can a 5'9 player take you in the NBA playoffs?
You're right. But hey, listen to this, though, man. I heard a stat earlier. Only John, they're talking about the Boston Celtics, history of the Boston Celtics, for God's sake. I mean, only, them and the Lakers have two dominant franchises over 40, 50 years. Only John Havlicek has more points in a playoff game for the Boston Celtics now than Isaiah.
Yeah, pretty
Thomas.
Amazing. So, I heard that same one. You're right, Stanley. Pretty amazing.
Hey, listen, as far as the Blues go, guys, I'm a Blues optimist, have been a fan for many years. I'm with you. Three months ago, I wrote this team off. I'm a season ticket holder. I love the Blues. I pray for them to win every game, but I was trying to be realistic. I mean, with the guys they got rid of and all the guys, you know, these young kids coming up out of nowhere, Barbashev and Stanford, and then bringing Pay Arby back from the dead and so forth. I was with you. For them to even make the playoffs, I thought was a you know, hell of a run, and they won every big game they needed to win down the stretch to get to the playoffs and, you know, get that third spot out of the division. And I thought that nice series against Minnesota was good. If you look at Nashville, and you look at the Blues, I don't think anybody thought that the Blues have the talent player for player. Nashville has went out and made unbelievable free agent acquisitions over the last couple of years.
Yeah, they really did.
Loaded themselves with talent. And so here's the thing. Sometimes, guys, don't get me wrong. Please don't kill me for this. I love Jake Allen's game so far. I know the first three games against Minnesota, he gave up 3 goals. Since then, guys, he's given up 16.
Yeah.
He's given up 16 goals in 6 games. All right, he's got, you know, it's a 2.78 something. That's not great. And sometimes when your team isn't as talented as the other team, just like he did against Minnesota in game 1 where he stopped 51, you have to outplay the other goalie. And right now, he's not outplaying Pekka Rinne by any stretch of the imagination. Both of those goals yesterday, come on. You know, the one he's laying prone on the ice on Ryan Ellis's, you know, tap-in goal on the power play, why he didn't stay upright, why he decides to dive out like that. He does it every game. And then that one by Neil, that was a sickening goal when you're down 1-0. Of course, the Blues come back, score one to make it interesting, but...
Pekka Rinne went toe-to-toe last night. It was kind of like watching a boxing match. They just went toe-to-toe.
Yeah, you're right.
Stanley, thanks for the call, sir. Appreciate it. Have a great night. Have a text coming in from Jeff with no G. The Predators have been the luckiest team in the playoffs with bounces. They've only had a couple of clean goals all postseason. Eventually, their luck is going to run out. Unfortunately, I think it's too late for the Blues, but the Preds will not win the Cup. Could happen. But, man, we've seen there's been cases before recently, especially Jonathan Quick with the Kings, where you had a hot goalie that could carry a team, luck or no luck, all the way to the Stanley Cup. 5:90 let's head to the That 590 Show Sports Update Desk and our very own Matt Rocchio.
And let's never forget what seed those Los Angeles Kings were.
They were 8.
Blues president and CEO Chris Zimmerman told play-by-play man Chris Kerber earlier today about the Scottrade renovation plans for this summer. They include new lightings, new speaker systems, and how about this one? A new center ice scoreboard more than twice the size of the current one. A lot of Blues fans have been complaining for years about that. That looks to get solved. And the Blues will look to stave off elimination on Friday night as the series returns to St. Louis. Game 5, 7 p.m., Blues and Predators. Blues down 3-1 in that series. Tonight's Cardinals game has been postponed, and tomorrow afternoon's game versus the Brewers has been moved to a 6:15 start. A fan who was grazed by a stray bullet at Busch Stadium yesterday has been treated and released. A police spokesperson told the Post-Dispatch that the bullet appears to have come from outside the stadium and a slug was recovered near the woman's seat. In NBA action tonight, it's the Raptors and the Cavaliers already underway. 2.5 minutes left to play in the first frame. It's the Cavaliers leading 28-18. Later on will be the Rockets and the Spurs. And a little bit later on tonight, we have 2 games on the NHL docket. It is the Oilers and the Ducks. That is your late game, your early game, the Capitals and the Penguins. Penguins leading that series 2-1, but will be without their captain, Sidney Crosby, for tonight's game. I'm Matt Rocchio with your 590 Sports Report.
Thank you very much, Matt Rocchio. Let's take a commercial break, and then coming up on the other side, we're going to be joined by Pete Jensen from the NHL Network. You're listening to That 590 Show, and we are live right here on the all-new 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.